Mindy was the youngest child out of six children in her Thai family. And though she was only 10 years old, she knew that it was in her Thai duty within her culture that as the youngest daughter, she needed to be the breadwinner and the caretaker of her family. And so she looked for a job in her village, but as with most people in that village, finding a job was hard to do because of the poverty that they were surrounded in. And but luckily, her uncle shared with her family that he knew of a friend who could provide a job for Mindy in the United States. And so though Mindy didn't speak any English, and though she was nervous about going on this huge new journey, she accepted. She decided, you know what, I'll make the sacrifice for the sake of our family. So her uncle's friend helped her get a passport, and she saw, her picture in the passport, and she was so excited. She's never traveled outside of her village before. And so she went to Bangkok, and then she met one of her uncle's friends who escorted her to Los Angeles. And after she exited Los Angeles Airport, International Airport, another person who would become her boss met her. They exchanged greetings, and with a smile, he took her to his car and took her to her new home and introduced her to her new workplace as a waitress. And so she was excited. It was hard. She was nervous. She couldn't speak any English, but for the sake of her family, she was willing to make this sacrifice. But just to keep things safe, her boss asked for her passport because it was such an important document. We wouldn't want to lose this now, would we? And so Mindy gave her passport to her boss. And after 2 days of extremely hard work, hoping that she can please her boss, he did seem somewhat happy. But then after 2 days, in the third day of her work that evening, the demeanor of her boss kind of changed once she went into her room. In fact, he turned kind of mean. And he told her, that Mindy, you are no longer from tomorrow going to be working in the restaurant. And instead, he threw a new set of clothes at her. And she looked at the clothes, and he demanded that she wear them, but she put the clothes up, and she could tell that they were very skimpy and very promiscuous in nature, and she felt very uncomfortable, and she didn't want to wear these clothes. But the boss forced her to, and after hearing her refusal, he hit her, he beat her, and he told her that she had to. And so out of fear, she put on her new clothes, but also she said, I don't want to do what you want me to do. And what happened next is that he violated her. He abused her, beat her. And now Mindy was filled with shame. Nowhere to run and no ability to communicate in this new land, in this new city that she was in. And from the next day onward, she had a new job of hosting men who would also violate her. Though she had lived in the U.S. for 2 years, and 2 years had passed, she had only known the inside of hotel rooms because every 3 days, her boss would take her to a new city and to a new hotel room, and that is the only thing she has ever known. I wish this was a rare story, but it is not. It is not just happening in Los Angeles. It is happening in San Francisco. It is happening in Shanghai. It is happening in Seoul, Korea. This is the reality of human trafficking today. But thankfully for Mindy, a tip led an undercover officer to have an appointment with Mindy, and he was able to bring her captive to justice and set Mindy free. But sadly, there are still many more Mindys enslaved even in our own city today. We want to take a fresh perspective and look at modern-day slavery and human trafficking. Now, I know that some of you are wondering, Eddie, I mean, these past couple months, where in the world did this come from? Right. Where did this new direction come from? Why this new focus, this new passion, this new change of our resources and energy in this direction? Where did this come from all of a sudden? Well, I want to share that with you today. Now, it may be a bit heavy emotionally today in terms of what I'll be sharing, but the basics need to be established. The stats may shock some of you and disturb others, but it is a reality in the world that we live in today. So, what is human trafficking? Well, human trafficking is defined as the recruitment, harboring, transporting, providing, or obtaining of any person for forced labor, slavery, or servitude in any industry, including agriculture, construction, prostitution, and manufacturing. And as I was reflecting and preparing for this message, I understood that in God's sovereignty, I was able to realize more why we had the order of the sermon series that we did in this new year. As you may recall, we began with prayer, the need to see prayer with a fresh perspective, the utter, not just urgency and the need for prayer, but the logic of prayer, that prayers are layers of blessings, that we need to cover everything and anything in prayer, that there is only gain, there is only benefit that comes as we pray for things. And then last week, we looked at the importance of seeing people through the perspective of God, that it is important, especially as people fail, disappoint us, hurt us, and even offend us, that it is important to see sinners in light of God's grace, in light of His own perspective. And the reason why I believe that order is important is because those are two prerequisites in ministering to those who have been imprisoned and those who are involved in imprisoning others. We must pray for them. We must cover everyone involved in human trafficking today in prayer. But also we must see them through the eyes of God with the lens of grace and mercy and justice as well. But the more pressing question for us today is, what do we do about this problem? And today's text seems as if it was written specifically for this issue in an amazing way. Please open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 10. And we want to look for ways that we can stop the traffic, human and sex trafficking, in our own day and age. And again, in an amazing display of God's wisdom, again, this passage, this chapter in Psalms, seems like it was written in this day and age. So what is the first thing we need to do in light of the situation that we are involved with? Please follow along with me in your outlines. And in this text, the first thing that we want to do is follow in the footsteps of this psalm writer. And that is to turn to the Lord and vent. So everybody repeat, turn to the Lord and vent. Okay, so as we hear the situation and the statistics and the problems and the horror, our first mode of response must be to turn to the Lord and vent our frustrations upon Him. Turn to the Lord and vent. Like me, you may have thought that slavery ended a long time ago. Like me, just a year ago, you may have had the same mindset. Like in 1833, when the British Parliament passed the Slavery Abolition Act, you may have thought, well, it's gone. Or you may be thinking back to 1865, when the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution declared slavery to be illegal, and in the months that followed, almost every single country in the world also passed a similar law, you may have thought, hey, it's over. There is no more slavery. We may think there are slave-like conditions, but no slavery. But currently, there are more people in slavery today than there has been ever in human history. Over 30 million people are enslaved, and even in the United States, there is estimated over 100,000 slaves today. Every year, 800 to 900,000 human beings are bought, sold, or forced across borders. And in the UN, one study found that in Indonesia alone, there are 700,000 forced children who are living in work slavery, working the fields, farms, factories. And in the European Union, in the EU, over 120,000 women and children are trafficked into the EU states every year. After arms trafficking, meaning the trade of illegal and the selling of illegal weapons, guns, missiles, number two, tied is human trafficking and drug trafficking globally today. Of those trafficked, 80% are female, women and little girls. 50% are children. Some are as young as 5 years old. Many are in the age bracket between the ages of 8 and 18. This is the horrific thing. Some are even trafficked before they are even born. So some of these people who are in this business, they will go to these poor villages that we've been mentioning for the past couple of weeks, and they will find these poor families, and they'll find a pregnant lady. And they'll say, I will pay you $10 a month for you to take care of this baby until it is born. And then once the baby is born, I'll give you $100 if you give me your baby. And they agree. So before they're even born, some of these children are promised into this type of lifestyle. Sadly, Thailand is a central hub where all of this is happening. 800,000 girls trafficked in Thailand to work the bars, basically as prostitutes, are under the age of 16. 200,000 of these young girls who are also working as prostitutes forced into this lifestyle in Thailand, 200,000 are under the age of 12. What are the main purposes of why people are trafficked to different countries and cities? Number one main reason is for work, forced labor. Sadly, some of the products that we buy, some of the famous clothing brands that are your favorites, some of the electronic companies that we buy from, how they are able to make such good quality, affordable products is through having these children as young as 5, 8, 7 years old make these products for them. Work. Number two, for sex. They're forced into the prostitution business, working bars and brothels. Number three reason for human trafficking, for organs. In Europe, just recently this past week, there was a major bust. Police were able to nab a ring of people who had thousands of people trafficked for organs across different country lines. And number four reason, main purpose on why humans are trafficked, is for war. Children are used to do some crazy killing in these war-torn countries in South Africa, in South America, I'm sorry, and in different parts of Africa. Things that adults could not consciously, psychologically do, they brainwash little children to do them. And with these staggering statistics, sometimes it looks like the wicked are getting away with evil and God seems distant. In those times, we learn from the psalmist that we need to learn to vent our frustrations to the Lord. Let's look at Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. Let's read that together, shall we? Ready, begin? Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? So this passage reads as if the psalmist is looking directly at the trafficking issues in our day. In it, we see the pride of the evildoers in every thought and action. And we wonder, God, are you here? Where are you in the midst of the tens of millions of people who are enslaved today? Let's look at verse 2 and following. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of their desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. Let's look at verse 4. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. all his thoughts are, there is no God. Look at verse 2. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. What lures many of these women and children into the schemes of these men and women is often poverty. As we mentioned last week, about 80% of the women and children who are in the sex industry, trafficked into the industry throughout Asia, 80% are from the northeast villages in Thailand that is extremely poverty-stricken. Typical story we touched upon before. Parents are so poor that they're willing to do anything in order to get money, and they will sell some of their children for a meager $50, $100, and they will sell them, some knowing what will happen to their children and some unaware of what will happen. They will believe the lies that their daughter has a great job as a waitress in the big city. And in Thai culture, as I mentioned, the youngest girl is responsible to take care of the family. And also, in the unique part of that region of Thai Buddhism, especially for those village regions, that unique Thai Buddhist understanding is that they believe that if you have more than five kids and you sacrifice or surrender one for no matter what cost, even if they know what will happen, they see that if you surrender one of your children, then the rest of your family will be blessed. And so some of them, they knowingly send their children to this. But also some of them are into the system because of deception, that they dream of a better life. Some are forced by their parents, some by their husbands, and some by their boyfriends. And others are kidnapped. And through all of this evil, it appears that these people are prospering. These evil men and women who deceive or are part, who lead this industry, they seem to prosper. Look at verse 5 and 6. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. This is one of the fastest growing industries in all the world if we do not do something now. It brings in approximately $7 to $10 billion a year. The UN did a study and found that 60% of the men who fly into Bangkok are there because of their sex industry. 60% of the men who fly into Bangkok. You know, back in the 1800s, when there was widespread slavery in so many countries, one thing that is different between that time period and today, at least back then, it took a long time to get a new shipment of slaves and things, and so they were treated a lot like their cattle, like property. And so they would at least try to take care of them because they were their source of income. But not anymore. Because of the quickness of how and where they can find new women, children, and little boys, they're not treated very well anymore. They're discarded as trash so quickly. Verse 7. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. Verse 8. He sits in ambush in the villages. Like I said, this is like reading straight out of the situation in the world today. He sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places. He murders the innocents. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. So this sounds like trafficking today. All their plans are evil. They target the poor villages the most. Let's look at verse 9. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. You see, after capturing them, it is only the beginning of the evil that these men and women will do. The captors will physically and mentally abuse them, and usually within the first 48 hours, most women and girls are sexually violated to crush any hopes of holding on to their purity or innocence. And soon afterwards, after that initial violation, they are violated 8 to 10 times a day for years until someone sets them free. But sadly, by the time that they are released or set free, they usually have AIDS or some other STDs, and because of the shame of what they've been involved with, they are banished from ever going back to their home villages or even their own families again. And as a result, these precious people are crushed. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. The helpless are crushed, sink down and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten, he has hidden his face. He'll never see it. The wicked live with no fear of God. They do not realize that we will all be held accountable before God on the day of judgment. And we look at all this horror, and we should be frustrated. We should be upset. We should be angry. But where that should lead us first and foremost is in the presence of God as we turn to the Lord, and we should vent our anger and frustrations before the presence of God. That is where we must begin. After looking at the reality of the situation, our next step must then be turn to the Lord and ask. So everybody repeat, turn to the Lord and ask. The greatest action that we can do is to pray to the Lord who can move mountains. God moves through prayer. Prayer is the greatest act of faith and warfare we can do every day. Amen? That is the greatest act of faith and warfare that we can do every day. Let's look at Psalm chapter 10, verse 12. Let's read that verse together. Ready to begin? Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Asking God to arise is a call to action. To ask God to lift up your hand is to prepare an army for battle. The army awaits the hand of their commander to signal its attack. You've seen it in the movies. And what that is saying is when we are asking God, lift up your hand, it is saying, God, release your army and unleash your power and authority. That is how we are to pray. So everybody repeat, release your army. Unleash your power. Those are important prayers that you need to be aware of. And especially that first prayer, release your army. That holds special significance that I'll unpack in a moment. That is how we need to pray. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account, but you do see. God does see. For you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. We turn to the Lord because he is the helper of the fatherless. God's heart is for the weak, the helpless, and the oppressed. And the true people of God will care for the least of these. Amen? And asking God to release his army is also praying for his church to rise up and be the church to the weak, to the orphans, to the fatherless, to the prisoners. Amen. So this prayer that the psalmist has just taught us how to pray, God, release your army. That is the same as praying right now. God, raise up and release your church to be your church. That is why we'll be hitting the streets of Seoul for Fire by Night from this month forward. Praying at strategic places of influence, areas that need prayer and his presence to show up, we'll be praying in areas where human trafficking happen. In the red light districts next month and this month, beginning with the government areas of leadership. Because you guys may not be aware, technically, prostitution is illegal in this country. But you'd never know it if you walked the streets of Seoul at night. And we want to pray for justice to be enforced in this nation through its leadership. Amen. And in future months as well, we will be prayer walking and laying our hands on hospitals that provide abortions so that we will be bringing the blessing and presence of God upon these places, interceding and fighting on behalf of the unborn, that we might be the voice to the voiceless, so that these unborn children of God would have a defender found in the church today. We'll be walking throughout the city in order to bring the presence of God to those who have no voice. So we will go. We will pray. We will feed. Each fire by now, I want to encourage you guys, bring some bread, bring some kimbap, whatever, so that if God brings homeless people in our path, we will feed them. Buy some blankets. Carry some blankets as we go in the midst of this cold season. So as we go, we will be the presence of God manifesting itself in the form of loving our neighbor in the streets of Seoul. Invest into some blankets so that we can cover them with the blessings of God. We will go, we will pray, we'll heal, we will clothe, we will pray. And if people are injured or sick, we'll pray for healing and expect God to heal in Jesus' name. And on these days, if you feel led, some of our staff members, that on these days of fire by night, again, beginning this Friday night, that on that day fast, that not only will we fast, we'll be following the guidelines of God's fasting procedure in Isaiah chapter 58, that it's not just giving up food, it is feeding on that day. That you not only give up what you will feed yourself, you will use that day to intercede for the weak. You will use that day to feed the hungry, to bring freedom to the captives. Also, starting next month, Lord willing, through small groups. Again, if you're not in a small group, sign up soon. We'll be having a meet and greet in the coming weeks ahead. Through our small groups, we will also be having monthly times where we will be specifically going to the homeless to feed them. And also visiting the widows and the elderly, and also, Lord willing, to find out where foreign prisoners are locked up because they do not have any visitors. And we could speak English, and that we will be Christ to them, blessing them with our love and being the church to them. Amen. It is answering this prayer. Arise, O Lord, and awaken your army in Seoul to be the church today. That is the prayer that we'll be answering. Now let's look at verse 15. What other prayers are being prayed in these verses? Verse 15. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. Until you find no more wickedness in this world. He is saying, destroy the arm of the wicked. Make them powerless. You see, we must pray for justice and freedom. We are to ask God to bring about freedom and peace for the oppressed and dismantle the power and the grip of the oppressors. I am praying every day in Jesus' name, asking God to set every single enslaved prisoner free in Jesus' name. And I want to ask you to join me in praying that every day, to ask God, set every slave free. Set every single person in prison unjustly free in Jesus' name. And when you begin praying prayers like that, when you read stories like the one that I read last Friday, where the police in India raided a brothel and set 60 little girls free, you rejoice because you understand that God is answering prayers. Therefore, turn to the Lord and ask Him for freedom. Ask Him to set the prisoners free. We must begin with prayer. Amen. The next thing we must do to help stop the trafficking in the world today is to turn to the Lord and expect. So everybody repeat, turn to the Lord and expect. Let's look at verses 16 and following. Actually, let's read verse 16 and 18 together. These are awesome verses. Ready, begin? The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their hearts. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Amen. Sometimes hearing these stats and stories can be discouraging, making us want to give up even before we start, you know? I've been through so many emotional roller coasters through these past several months. As I've been just diving into researching, reading, learning about this whole issue. There are times when I want to hurry up and just fly to Bangkok and live there for like months or years, and just be on the front lines and do battle and help set people free. There are moments where I have that urge in my heart. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to fight for their freedom. I want to find out what's going on and set people free. And then there are other times when I read so many stories of what's going on and the horrific things that are happening to babies and children by the hundreds of thousands and millions. It's like all of a sudden you get deflated. You're like, oh my goodness, what can I do? It's like, oh, before you even start, you feel defeated. And in the midst of this roller coaster, what God kept reminding me is, Eddie, never let your focus be on the mountains. But make sure, Eddie, your focus is always on the God who created the mountains, the God who is greater than the mountains, and the God who will one day destroy every mountain in our path. Amen. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the good King, like verse 16 says, who is the Lord and who is King forever. Our God reigns over all the earth. Our God, Jesus Christ, is King over every city and over every nation. He is Lord over all. He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is a God of justice. And his will be accomplished in due time. And so we fix our eyes on him because it is he who protects his people, who provides for his people and rules in justice. And we must expect God to move and to act on behalf of those that he loves. We must expect miracles to happen. We must expect justice to happen as we pray. That's what the psalmist is doing. Look at verse 17 and 18. Again, it says, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. And it says, what does he say? You will strengthen their hearts. You will incline your ear to do what? To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. God will bring justice. God also gives in response to expectations and faith. That is the nature of faith, prayer, and God's response. God responds to the amount of expectation we have. He says, go, and according to your faith, it will be done. And so if we expect more of these stories to come, I expect these kind of news stories to come. I expect one day to read that thousands of those who were enslaved somehow got free because a random police officer off duty came across this imprisonment and set them free. I expect those stories to come. God gives in response to expectation. So those who expect miracles and great things from our great God will experience the greater works of God. Amen? So people of God, let us turn to the Lord, ask and expect great moves of his hand in the coming days ahead. Amen? And finally, in order for us to stop the traffic in our day and age, we must turn to the Lord and act. So everyone repeat, turn to the Lord and act. Right, so this is intentional, this process. First of all, we have to turn to the Lord and vent. Vent our anger, our frustration. Give your honest venting prayers to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and vent to him. And after you get it out of your system, turn to the Lord and ask. Pray. Ask for freedom. Ask for their liberation. Ask for God to raise up His church to be His presence in this city and in others. And then after we turn to the Lord and ask, and we expect God to move, we expect miracles to happen, then we turn to the Lord, meaning we stay in prayer. We stay in an attitude of dependence, listening for instruction from the Lord. We stay in prayer, and then we act. You see, a primary means of accomplishing justice today is through His people. Isaiah 61 verse 8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice." What is justice to God? We kind of have a different idea of injustice in our world because we don't really face true injustice the way the Bible defines it. But what is it? Our mentality is, again, a little bit different from the Bible's. We think when we drive and we get cut off, that is an injustice, right? At least for me, right? That's like, we write down his plate number. We want to see justice done. Or, when we're in the grocery store and we're in a hurry and we're only going to buy like 2 items, and then you're in the 10 items or less line and the person in front of you has 15 items. You know because you counted. And you're in a hurry. You're like, oh my goodness, can't they read 10 or 15? Injustice! God's view of injustice is a little bit different. According to God, injustice is an abuse of power, where the strong take from the weak and deny rights of life, liberty, and dignity. Injustice is when a police officer in Thailand who makes $60 a month will turn the other way when there are children and women being kidnapped because this boss has paid this police officer more money to look the other way, to ignore his police badge duty. That is injustice. Injustice in the eyes of God is when he gives an abundance of wealth, freedom, influence to his church, and when women and children are being imprisoned and we look away and do nothing. That is injustice in the eyes of God. And God hates injustice. And he wants it to stop. God hates seeing the poor exploited, children abused, and women imprisoned. But until Christ returns, we are God's plan for justice in the world. And I am getting that principle from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's look at Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read that together. It's provided for you in your outline. Ready, begin. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And also Matthew 23:23, let's read that. Ready, begin. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. It's interesting that in these passages, the first action that God is requiring of his people is to do justice. How will the oppressed and the suffering see the goodness of God? How in the world will those who are imprisoned, How will those women and children who are crying out, literally chained to their beds, and they are crying out to their unknown God, God, are you there? Is there a God? Is there someone who can hear my desperate pleas for freedom? How will they see Jesus? How will these women and children see the goodness of Jesus Christ? Through His church. Through His body. How will these people who are oppressed see the goodness of Jesus Christ? Through the body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It is when the church will be the church and not just talk about being the church and go to these places and become the arms of Jesus holding them, become the hands of Jesus that will fight for them, become the feet of Jesus that will run to them. How will they know the goodness of God in the midst of their prisons? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. God is against injustice, so when we fight for justice, we are fighting for the things of God's heart. And therefore, God fights with us and God fights for us. Amen. It's time to stop playing church and be the church where people need to see the church show up. They need to see Jesus in flesh again through you and through me. We must act as the people of God on God's behalf. Edmund Burke once said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." We must be Christ to them. I don't know if you're familiar, but in Thailand, they actually have a third gender that is recognized in that culture. Back when I went to, one of the many times I went to Thailand, one time that I went was in 2004. When we were there, we did some ministry teaching English for a school, elementary school, high school, and all of our team members, we were divided up. We had a pretty big team back then, and we all divided up into the grades, and we taught these children. And it was the first time that I encountered them. And so in Thailand today, it is recognized, you have males, you have females, and their third category is ladyboys. And these ladyboys are boys who dress and act like girls. And when I first went, you know, I was a little bit uncertain as to how or why they have this category, these types of children. And I found out that some of them, they came from a very dysfunctional family background. But I also found out that the primary reason, and I'm thankful that God has given me a heart for Thailand, they are in desperate need of prayer. One of the spiritual elements, those unique dynamics that's in desperate need of prayer for Thailand and Thai culture, is that these boys were sexually molested and abused in this type of industry from the time that they were, some of them, from the time they were born, that they're so confused for their sexual identity. And as I was there, we decided to play some games, some English games with these children. And initially, we just divided up by the classrooms, and suddenly God was speaking to our team that, you know what, divide up by gender. And so we started playing these games. And we divide it up. Say, hey, go. All right, girls, you go on this side, guys on this side. And so the girls went here, the guys went here. The lady boys, they didn't know where to go, and the guys were making fun of them, and slowly they're shifting over to the girls section. I said, no, 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 you guys are boys, so boys here. And I was very firm. And then they went over there. And then I started telling the guys on our team, you know what, guys? Let's really up the ante in terms of our testosterone right now, okay? And so when we win a point, you high-five, you pump each other up like only guys seem to like doing, right? It's like when we're watching football or something, yeah, you know, they go crazy. And so you start doing, and that's what we started doing. And so whenever the guys would win a point, all the guys, we would go give high-fives to all the guys, including the lady boys. All right, we are the men, we are God. You know, we'd go just crazy like that. But I really felt compelled by the Spirit that we had to do this. And an amazing thing started happening. We were there for several weeks, that as we started doing this every day, we started to see a change in these boys that were once called lady boys. They started to talk different. They started to act different. They started to be accepted by the other boys. They started to dress different. And what struck me, there are many lessons, but one of the lessons that struck me was that we need more men of God to step up and be involved in missions and in short-term missions. Most of the people who go on our short-term mission trips are females. We need more men of God to step up and be men of God and go to some of these places where they did not have men to look up to. They did not have masculine people that showed them as role models what it looks like to be a man, but also to be a man of God. And so I expect more men to be involved in missions in the coming months ahead. Amen. And also for the women, I also want to encourage you as well to stay involved in missions, to stay involved in short-term missions, especially as we keep going to some of these places like Bangkok and other cities in the world that are in need of our prayers, that are in need of our presence, bringing the presence of God through our prayers of blessings. I want you women of God to continue to going, because a lot of these children, these girls, these ladies, these older women who have been enslaved for years and decades, They understand what they've done by now. They feel the shame. They feel the dirtiness. They feel the horror of what they've degraded their bodies to doing. And they feel ugly as a result. And we need women of God who will go to these places, look into the eyes of these women and say, you are so beautiful. We need you to speak truth, life, and liberty into these women's lives. Amen. I want to share with you one more story of a lady that I met. She's a grandmother in Bangkok, and she was in this industry for many years before she was set free. She was so bubbly, so full of laughter. She was awesome. I mean, she was like literally like a little kid. Like everything makes her giddy and hee-hee, oh, I'm so funny, oh my goodness. I mean, I love spending time with her because she thought I was so funny, you know? Like, I would say the same joke to our team, and I would hear the crickets chirping. And I would say the same joke to our Joy, her name's Joy, and she would just fall down laughing. You'd literally be rolling. I was like, I like you, Joy. No, Joy, I love you. You know, I was like, I really appreciated her. And not only that, you know, there was another even older grandmother, and they would play jokes on each other. And it was kind of strange to see, actually. They would play like practical jokes. So see, imagine seeing like these two like grandmother figures die, oh, laughing on their, oh, everything's funny, everything's funny. And they would play practical jokes on each other. And even to one time, you know, we're talking at the table and she stands up, she shows me something, and then she's about to sit down, and this other older grandmother comes from behind and pulls out her chair. And she falls down, and I'm like, oh my goodness, are you okay? And they're both on the floor, literally rolling around laughing. And I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Hey, Joy, are you okay? That could have been really, and I'm like, oh, I felt like rebuking the other grandmas. That, she could have been really hurt, you know, but they're too busy laughing. You know, they're, oh, that's so funny, oh my goodness. And I'm like, oh, okay, haha, but are you okay? You know, I don't want to lose my only laughing person, you know. But in the midst of it all, you know, she got back up and they're just joking around and literally like little kids. Even though they're grandmothers, it was like I was playing with five-year-olds, you know. At first it was, it was a little bit weird sometimes, you know. Though she's a grandmother, she acts like a little child, like a five-year-old child. And later on I found out from someone else why she acts like a five-year-old child. She was abused and enslaved since she was a five-year-old child. She had no childhood. She didn't play with friends as all little kids should at that age. She didn't go to school as all kids should. She had men abusing her 8 to 10 times a day for over 3 decades. Let me do a little bit of math for you. That is being violated 3,650 times a year. That is being violated 36,500 times between the ages of 8 and 18. That is being violated 73,000 times between the ages of 8 and 28. That is being violated over 100,000 times before she experienced freedom. 100,000 men, 100,000 nightmares that would not end for decades. But now she is free. Christ is restoring her, and she is able to laugh and joke, and though she has grandchildren now, God is giving her her childhood again. Only Jesus Christ can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And his method to reach them is his body, the church, you and me. That is why we are doing this. Because millions of babies, little kids, teenage girls are waiting for God to show up in the form of his church and set them free. That is why we are having the Not For Sale conference, and I keep stressing to you, you do not want to miss it. That is why we are doing Fire by Night in the streets of Seoul, praying for freedom for the people imprisoned in our own city. That is why we are doing missions and church with a renewed purpose. Because this is what burdens the heart of God. This is at the heart of God, and this is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because at the core of the gospel, we find the message and we discover that we were slaves trapped in sin. But Jesus did not leave us alone in our imprisonments. Jesus came to where we were and set us free. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." You see, this fight for their freedom is a physical expression of what the gospel seeks to do in every area of our lives. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. And that is why you have your freedom. That is why God has blessed you with your finances. That is why God has blessed you with faith in Christ. So that the purposes of God's heart might be accomplished through His children, through you. So what can we do? I want to give you some very practical pieces of advice. Please jot this down if you're taking notes. So what can we do? First and foremost, become aware. So everybody repeat, become aware. Learn more about the trafficking issues in our day and age. Read the book, Not for Sale. Come to the conference that we are hosting with David Batson. If you do not have a life and death issue that you have to attend to, I strongly encourage you to come and become aware of the situation through this conference. Also, Not for Sale, they have an academy, a one-week academy that they offer in San Francisco and in Seattle. I encourage you some of you to attend that. I'm also going to be talking with him when he comes about setting up an academy in Asia, either in Seoul or in Thailand, for us to become more aware. So that's the first easy step. Learn more, read more, become more aware. Number two, stay in prayer. So everybody repeat, stay in prayer. Okay, so become aware and stay in prayer. Begin praying for their freedom. Pray for ministries that fight for their freedom, like Not for Sale, like International Justice Mission, IJM, who have awesome Christian lawyers who do battle on the legal fronts in these countries, fighting for their legal liberties. And also come to our Fire by Nights. Pray in Seoul as we prayer walk throughout it. Once a month, we'll be going to strategic parts of Seoul. And next month, we begin this month, praying for the government around the Blue House. Next month we'll be going as well to different red light districts. Come and pray on our Wednesday prayer meetings as we pray for God to perform miracles of freedom as well. And third practical thing you can do, give money and go over there. Okay, I tried to keep the rhyming thing going, okay? So become aware, stay in prayer, give money and go over there. Okay, I'm sorry, that's the best I could do with the time I was given, okay? But hopefully you'll remember it because of that, okay? So become aware, stay in prayer, and give money to the place, these ministries, right? And go over there, okay? Meaning short-term missions, all right? I'm praying about sending more teams to the northeast part of Thailand, that poor village area that we talked about that I keep mentioning, where 80% come from. Let's pray that we'll be able to send teams there on a regular basis to provide education so that they're aware of what's happening with them, teach them English, teach them skills, all this stuff. And this is the other thing that I'm praying about. I'd love for some of you guys to join me in prayer. I am praying for a radical revolution to happen in that part of Thailand, meaning I am praying that either like Walt Disney World Southeast Asia will be set up there to instantly change the cultural and economical environment of that place, where it will be known as a family place, where thousands of jobs can be created, or like Samsung or LG will set up a huge factory there that will also create like thousands of jobs, or safe houses or something. Can you join me in those kind of prayers? Pray that that northeast part of Thailand will be totally revolutionized with the presence of God, where the sound of children learning and laughing would be the mark of that area. Amen? So please join me with that. And also, let's go to Bangkok. Some of you, if you have a heart for this, volunteer for some of the ministries that we've been partnering with, like Rahab or Nightlife, for 3 to 6 months. And I would love to support you in that through OEM. If you want to volunteer there for 3 to 6 months, I want to help make it happen. I want to help you with your fundraising and all that stuff. All right? And also, I want to see these types of ministries created in Seoul as well. And with that, we will be launching a new ministry that will encompass all of these types of mercy ministries and also especially helping the prisoners and oppressed. We will call this ministry Hope Be Restored. So everybody repeat, Hope Be Restored. It stands for this. The hope stands for this. Helping the oppressed and prisoners of slavery escape and be restored. It is both a proclamation, a prayer, and an explanation of what that ministry will encompass. So all you lawyers out there, I know we have a lot of lawyers in our ministry. I want for you to use your law connections to bring IJM into Korea because they don't have an office here yet. Let's fight for justice in Korea. And for all of you other people to provide language skills, counseling, healing. And I've been praying for many years to buy a huge plot of land in Southeast Asia and for us to create an awesome, huge safe house so that all these prisoners, if they hear about it, as long as they could somehow scrape enough money to go there, we'll take care of them for the rest of their lives if needed. That's what I've been praying about. Amen. Would you join me in those prayers? History records and remembers those who fight for justice. History tells of men and women who have risen to the challenge, be it the Harriet Tubmans of the world, where she freed thousands of slaves through the Underground Railroad, or the men like William Wilberforce, the abolitionist who brought an end to the slave trade after fighting on its behalf for 46 years. History honors them, for they fought for freedom. But what if it were happening today? What if you lived in the day of William Wilberforce? Or what if you lived in the same time period as Harriet Tubman? What would you do? Would you join them? Or would you just sit back waiting for someone else to fight? History records and remembers those who fight for freedom and for justice. I want to share with you a quote that I read from David Batstone that triggered something in me, that catapulted me upon a whole new trajectory in terms of why this new direction for our ministry. It was from the book Not for Sale. And these were the words that awakened the sleeping soldier to this cause. Let me share these words with you. He says this: "There are times to read history, and there are times to make history. We live right now at one of those epic moments in the fight for human freedom. We no longer have to wonder how we might respond to our moment of truth. It is we who are on the stage, and we can change the winds of history with our actions. Future generations will look back to judge our choices and be inspired or disappointed. You have been given liberty, knowledge, wealth, and influence for such a time as this. There is a time to read history. There is a time to make history. And we are living in a period of life to make history and to set the captives free." Amen. Let's pray.